My title is going to be A Committed Vessel of the Lord, and I want to give a message regarding Christmas. I know we've heard the virgin birth, and it's going to be the same passages that Pastor Hong used last week with Emmanuel, God with us. But I want us to look from a different point of view, dealing with the parents of Joseph and Mary. And I'm praying that God opens your heart up and that you hear something that you didn't look at before, maybe, as you've read this passage and heard it preached, been to services and heard it said a million times. But I want you to, I pray that God open your eyes to see some of the things that, what it took for Mary and Joseph to usher in Jesus into the world. So I want you to take a different look at this birth of Christ. Joseph and Mary were appointed to be the parents and vessels of Jesus being born. We know this. Mary is surprisingly pregnant, right? And has to tell her fiance and hope to God he understands. Joseph receives seemingly devastating news that leaves him questioning what has happened to his life. So already I'm asking you to take your mind out of maybe the religious context that you're used to hearing it and put yourself in the story. God hovers over her. The angel says, you are going to be pregnant with the Savior of the world. And she's just going about her life, living her own plans. Like, think of you ladies wanting to get married, and you think about all the things you want to do and getting married, and then you get news like this. You're pregnant, and no one's touched you. So Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So like any other couple getting married, they're going about their business, and God breaks in to establish his purpose in their life. Which shows us this, you can be blessed. Of course, she's blessed having the Lord Jesus. You can know and love the Lord and be confused and frustrated because you don't understand your life. But we realize that remaining faithful to God is to trust his ways, even amidst being very confused and struggling in hope. To get that kind of news is not normal, right? And we hear it so many times, we think it's normal, or it's Mary. But think of yourself. So I want 2 points I have, and then I'm going to get out your way. When God has you wait in your confusion, that's the first point. Matthew 1:18 says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, like engagement, before they came together, they had sex, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So first, Mary must have the faith to tell him the truth, to tell Joseph the truth, what the situation is, right? Think about that, ladies. You're coming up and telling your fiance, I'm pregnant, and you didn't touch me. And know that he may not believe it, right? Because it's beyond reason. I didn't touch you, so you must be cheating on me. You must have another man you want to be with. So her prayer is that not only Joseph believe her confession, but walk with her through it. She's in love with this man, wants to spend her life with this man, and probably have children with this man. But God comes in and gives her a purpose that she didn't understand at the moment completely, and it wrecks her plans, right? So she is desiring God to walk, or desiring Joseph to walk with her through this confusion. This is obviously messing up any plans that any person normally would have and just getting married. But God created Joseph and Mary to be capable of handling his will as we are. That's the grace he's given us. All of us are created to do a certain thing, and he's given us the grace to do it from him, to fulfill it. They were blessed, but they were perplexed or confused. Like the Bible says, you can be perplexed but not driven to despair because we have hope in Jesus. We cannot be fake and say we always understand what's going on in our life. Be honest to that. I don't know, but I'm trusting God knows. Of course he does. So the scriptures reveal the uniqueness of Mary's blessing and burden. This is what I want you to see. This blessing is unique, of course. Nobody in here can say, I'm having the Lord's baby, right? She's having the Lord's baby. She's not going to relate to everyone, nor will everyone understand. Same thing with your call and walk. You're not going to relate to everyone, and everyone's not going to understand. God did bring Elizabeth, her relative, to come and confirm her. I'm having John the Baptist in her old age. So he brought her a friend to confirm and all that. But at the same time in our lives, when we think about it, not everyone's going to understand. And sometimes we compromise what God has called us to do because we want to belong. Mary cannot belong at this point. So Mary must understand, seek to understand her life through God and no one else. That's worship. She has to seek God because God is the one who's put it on her. God's the only one that can bring it about and help her understand it. I believe in talking to friends and getting confirmation and all that, but people cannot tell you what God has for you to do. But the burden part is this. She's still left to talk to Joseph about it. This is the burden. But look at the worship opportunity she has to either embrace the will of God and risk losing Joseph. You got to see that in this. Mary reveals her heart for God over the man she loves. Possibly losing that man she wanted to get married with. She's planned it and all that. But she's willing to do it for the Lord she worships. Now we got to see to look at Joseph. Because we see Mary's character and how she is willing to accept God's will for her life. Even though it is messing up her plans. So Joseph hears his soon-to-be wife tell him she is pregnant before they are married and slept together. Listen to Matthew 1:19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He purposed to divorce her. As soon as he heard of that, he's like, I'm getting out of here. I'm not marrying you. So what is he thinking? He's not thinking, oh, this must be from the Lord. He says, I haven't touched you. So you must have a baby from someone else. But Matthew describes Joseph's character, showing the kind of man able to handle this blessing and burden. So listen, for Joseph to respond and go into divorce her, he found it unreasonable to be with Mary. We see this. Because I want you to think of his feelings of being humiliated, betrayed at this confession from Mary. Think about it. It's a natural reaction any man with any dignity and honor would think. What do you mean you're pregnant? And if you are, this is over. But God, look at Mary, I mean, with Joseph here. But God entrusts his vessels like he entrusts us who know him, not to walk by their feelings and own understanding, but by faith. Because Joseph is thinking, this is not what I planned. I planned to marry a woman who I knew, didn't know any other man. And now you're pregnant and I haven't touched you? So in other words, God is saying to Joseph, my purpose is bigger than your temporary confusion and frustration. That's what God says to us. And when we're frustrated and we don't understand, my purpose is bigger than what you don't get right now. So I want you to think of Joseph now in this situation. This is not a week of being confused about something. This is months probably of struggling to believe the will of God in the midst of his confusion, humiliation, and pain. Because they had to make that journey to Bethlehem, right? And think about Mary's struggle as they're making the journey. Mary's struggle is, I want Joseph to believe me. This is from the Lord, right? And Joseph, his struggle is having to trust God in his confusion, thinking, I never planned this. What's going on with my life? But I want you to understand that being given a vision from God or a promise from God is the end result. The circumstances in between are what tests our heart. Do we really trust God? So God may have said, you're going to be here. But in between that, all kinds of things are happening. And the question for our heart is, do I really believe God to be true? So the question he's asking Joseph and Mary, will you humble yourself and trust in God's ways and plan or rebel in your soul? Now, I want you to understand this happens at the same time, right? It can happen in the same day, throughout the day. One moment you're trusting God, one moment you're rebelling in your soul, right? But grace prevails. That's what grace is. Grace prevails over our rebellion in our soul to want to do what we want in our own plan. So the struggle's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. And I believe that struggle was there, especially for Joseph at this time. Because we got to look at this. After he's resolved to divorce her, look at Matthew 1:20 and 21. But as he considered these things, Joseph. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the Bible told you that Joseph was a just man who feared God. And even though he's getting this news about this is from the Lord, how many times have we got things from the Lord and believed it and then struggled to believe it? Right? So just because he got it from the Lord doesn't mean he's godly, he's doing it. It's grace. It's grace on Joseph, it's grace on you and me. So we rebel at times, we struggle just like he's struggling, and by grace we're able to fulfill it at times. But Joseph shows his character here. He feared God, so his pride and own understanding didn't dominate his life. That's the difference when you have Jesus. Before I knew Christ, pride just dominated. If I wanted to do it, I was doing it. There was no consideration, right? But the Bible says he considered these things. So it was prayer that opened his heart to consider, what does God want? Not what he wants according to his own plans and desires, because that would have been not a just man, not someone who knows God, not someone walking by faith. Because he's devastated. But he considered, maybe God is up to something. So God meets Joseph in the middle of his struggle, like he meets you and I. An angel from the Lord answered his confusion and settled his heart to focus on what God said, not what he feels. That's prayer. When you feel yourself going all over the place, you have to remember, what did God tell you? That will settle your heart to know that you have to consider his way, and that's where the peace and the grace is. Our way is where the anxiety, fear, and confusion is, because we don't know what's next. And it's showing us that we're living by our own plan when we feel that way. So I want you to see that worship comes from prayer. At this point, Joseph's in a position to consider God and then do what God calls him to do. Prayer should always lead to worship. Always. It should never just be, I think intercessory is wonderful, but if it stops at intercessory, then you're just only praying for other people. You're not praying for you to be changed to be like Christ too. And Joseph at that place is in prayer and worship. And this is what Hebrews 4:16 says about prayer, about our ability to come to pray because of Jesus. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Joseph needed help to do God's will. You see that? And if Joseph needed help, what do we need? Help. And help only comes when you think, I need God. I really need God to do his plan. If you don't need God, it's probably not God's plan. It's your own. That's where Christ shines through. So through clarity from God is grace and grace, Joseph is able to come into agreement and unify with Mary for God's purpose. He gets the word from God and the grace and power to accept the will of God. This is what the word is for to do for you and I. It's to give you clarity of what God may be saying in your soul. And you are at the same crossroad that Joseph is. Am I going to receive grace by faith? Or am I going to rebel in my soul? Preaching in the word, reading in the word, prayer and all that is to bring you to the crossroad, is whether I'm going to obey and walk in faith or I'm going to rebel in my soul. So it's clarifying God's will so that we can come in agreement with God to do his will, to consider his ways. And I'm going to conclude with this. I told you it's short. The result is worth the confusion. The result, this is the last point. The result is worth the confusion. Look at this. Matthew 22 and 25. Now all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And I'll stop real quick. Think about your life. Just at this point now, and you look back on things that took place, and at the time, if you think back, you was like, you thought you were going to die. You thought God left you, and then you see that it took those things to get where you are. Right? And it's the same thing he's saying here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, here's where the result is beautiful. So through the pain, frustration, and confusion, Joseph and Mary are realizing that the result is worth it. Like Mary and Joseph, God's ways pull us out of ourselves to realize that our lives are to usher in Christ through the world. Because if we don't walk by faith, we're not walking with God, and Christ is not seen through us. We walk in our plan, Christ is not seen, they see us go to church. So it brings us into a place where we need God. So the goal is to get the perspective like Joseph and Mary that my plans are not ultimate. God's are. I'm not saying don't make plans. I told the youth this on Friday. You can have plans to do this, that, and the third. The problem comes when you have plans and you're not flexible when God comes in and says, I want you to do this. That means I'm worshiping my plans, not him. So the test is always when God gives you something, whatever blessing it is, and he comes in and says, I would like that back now. And you're like, no. And he's saying, no, that's mine. You're going to go my way. So Isaiah 58, 8 and 9, or 55, 8 and 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Now, isn't it funny that half the things that have happened in our life, we would never have picked to do it that way. But they ended up being great if you walk with God, right? So his ways are not our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God sees the end from the beginning. So his ways are all over the place sometimes. You're like, what's going on with my life? And he's calling you to trust him. Because this couple, Joseph and Mary's enduring faith in God's plan ushered in the greatest gift to the world, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what I want you to understand. They could have said, I'm not accepting this. Right? Joseph could have divorced had he not went to pray and been like, Lord, and the Lord talked to him and said, do this. Take her as his wife. He needed God to keep doing what he needed to do to usher in Christ into the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what he's saying with us. To know he is with you is worth the trials and confusion they bring. It is all ordered for the sake of knowing him deeper and yourself in a new and exciting way. That's all the trials are doing. They're ordering to get you to submit to my plan. Because my plan ushers in Christ. Just like Joseph and Mary who ushered in Christ and had their lives disrupted and their plans, so will our lives, if it hasn't already, constantly. And that's God's goal, for you to be like Christ wherever you are. Whatever your gift is to usher in Christ. So people will know what? Emmanuel, God is with us. 2 Timothy 2:20 is this, and I'm closing. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. He's talking about us. Whatever's convicting you to keeping you from giving yourself to God and his plan, he's saying, cleanse that so I can use you and so you can usher in Christ. But here's the kicker, I think, especially for most church folks. I believe what makes people not as useful and frustrated with their life is not that they live immoral, not that they live a life of lying, cheating, and sleeping around so much. It's that we live in pride and we just want our own plans. We don't want God. And that's the thing. You have to be honest and say, God, I don't want your plan. That's what I do. Because he knows you don't want it. You need grace like Joseph to do it. Because if you do it in his grace and you know it's his grace, he gets the glory. So it just takes being honest. So what makes us dishonorable most in general, I think, for the church folk, is that we're too prideful and we want our plan. And Christ is not ushered in through what we look like, what we own, what we have achieved. He's ushered in through people who want to use his plan. And I'll prove this to two people who are vastly different that God used mightily, David and Saul. David had all kinds of moral issues. If you read your Bible, all kinds of moral issues. God used him powerfully because he just wanted to do right by God. That's the thing. You got to want to do right by God because he knows you can't without him. He can use someone like that, but he can't use someone like Saul who's saying, I don't need God. I want to do it like this. Make me look good in front of the people of Israel. That's what Saul was caring about. All I care about is what I look like. I don't care what's reality. So God will use somebody in a second who's struggling with all kind of moral stuff, but they're saying, God, I want to do what you call me to do because I'm a mess without you. That's the people he uses to usher in Christ into the world. So I want you to ask yourself this Christmas. It doesn't sound like a cheery Christmas message, I know. But I want you to ask yourself this Christmas, are you too stubborn to humble yourself to usher in Christ? Because that's what Christmas is about. Christ came into the world to what? Die for our sins. And as the commercial Christmas Christian message goes, is that it's all cheery and this and baby Jesus and all that. They don't talk about how he was nailed up on the cross and got slaughtered to death for our sins. That's the gospel message. And God is calling us to that kind of love for him. To be used by him and lay down our plans. And not live so stubborn in our ways, because we will prove our ways will fail. But for our good.